excuse for today?
I don't know.
She'll be here. She's usually 5 minutes late.
Oh, yeah. Then we're fine. And we have a form anyway.
She said she might. I think she's in Germany. On the email.
How about Ted? I think we're all right. We have a quorum.
Even with four of seven.
I think it was the first one in July that people weren't going to make it to, but they canceled that anyway.
I think so.
Give them another. 509 cases in medical science. Mortality rates 1 in 3.
That's terrible.
Two more minutes.
And she just got out of hospital for 6 days and was in 8 days.
Real time. That's always wrong.
And 6 since May 6th. 30. She has muscular dystrophy, so she's had some other issues.
Alright.
Anyway, she's on tube feedings at home and I've gotten 16.
As long as the texting and the.
Mm-hmm, that's what I told them. Just text me.
Well, as long as they're not too busy texting, they're ignoring the important part.
Yeah. I'm excited about this fishing pond. How good. I just know she put on the 22nd question mark and I thought, I asked her and she said, I'm not, I think I'll be back by then.
Yeah, I forgot to look at that.
I think she would have notified us.
Here.
So we're good. Yeah.
See, I told you, 5 minutes late?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
You're good. Are you keeping track?
No.
I have.
You're right on time.
6:29. I have 6:29.
Well, but it's fine by the other clock on the wall. That's, yours is right. That one's wrong.
That clock's unofficial. This one, yeah. These are, this one's least.
And I think traffic was pretty yucky, so if Ted's coming out of his office, he'll be late.
We can move, we can, along with him.
We're alright. Greetings.
There's Ted.
Good.
There he is. Alright. 6:30.
Steve, but it's not that.
That's fine. I think it'll get worse as the night goes on. You.
Yeah, usually we smush over there. How was your vacation?
Fabulous.
It's wonderful.
Were you in Germany?
Yeah, we were in, all over Germany, Eastern Bloc and Czech Republic and Austria.
Did you like the area?
I had an exchange student that lived there with me. And then my son graduated from high school, so it was a trip for our family.
I just lost my screen.
I have a.
There it is.
Got it.
Good. Chris?
Right there. Great, we have everyone here this evening, all the members of the Planning Commission. Let's get started. We welcome you, and there are quite a few things we need to cover this evening, so we'd like to move it along expeditiously. First item will be public comments. Is there anybody here that would like to make a comment about city business, something that pertains to the city that is not on our agenda? No public comments. All right. Let's move to the second item. The second item is a public hearing for and in consideration of amendments to the city's land use ordinance. This has to do with building on the mountainside. So looks like Jim's going to lead us in this discussion.
Yep. Okay. So there's a couple of minor changes that we are requesting to make to the city code. The first one is the length of a cul-de-sac. Right now, the code limits a length of a cul-de-sac to 600 feet, but the Development Review Committee has agreed that in some circumstances, a longer cul-de-sac would better preserve the natural terrain and vegetation, especially on the hillside regions of the city. So it's proposed that the ordinance would allow the city engineer to allow longer cul-de-sacs if the circumstances would limit the amount of disturbance to the natural terrain. other regulations would remain in place, so that would be the only exception. The second is not related to cul-de-sacs, but it's basically removes a section of the code that requires that any restricted lot get a conditional use permit prior to building any type of structure on the lot. A restricted lot is any lot you can see in the staff report is defined, but typically it's any lot with a slope greater than 15%. The DRC has found that the preliminary concept and final plat processes, as well as the building permitting process, are sufficient review time to permit building on those lots that are designated restricted. The third modification is the standards for lot sizes. Right now, the code prohibits any lot that's 5 acres or larger. Prohibits any lot containing 5 acres or less to be created, which is three times as long as it is wide. The DRC also finds that an exception from that requirement would better preserve the terrain and the environment in some cases. And the amendment there would allow the city engineer to determine if a lot would better preserve the natural terrain if it were more than three times as long as it is wide. So the DRC recommends that the Planning Commission recommend approval to these code amendments to the City Council. Do you have any questions?
I like seeing some flexibility built in around design and engineering and some real criteria to make a decision rather than this is what it is, cannot
right.
violate it. Any questions? Lisa has one.
The question that I've got on the proposed language, and this is current law, so I want to make sure it's actually what is meant. It's ordinance number 10-7-7, period K, period 4, capital L. And it's in our packet. It reads, permanent cul-de-sac streets serving no more than 20 lots, comma, and not more than 600 feet long. With that conjunctive, it has to have 20 lots and 600 feet long for this rule to apply. Is that accurate? Or is it one or the other? Is it?
I think we've typically been interpreting it as or. Is that right, Paul?
No, it has to be both.
If
it exceeds 20 lots, it's not allowed, or if it exceeds 600 feet, it's also not allowed. So
okay.
It has to be.
It doesn't have to be both. It could be one or the other.
Yeah, it's an or.
It's an or.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need to make that change as we make the change to the
I see.
The amendments as we go along that. Otherwise, you're going to have a 20-foot lot, 600-foot length, 200.
Two conditions to settle.
Two conditions before that exception.
Before the supplies, yeah.
So strike and put or?
Take out the comma after lots.
Okay.
Strike out and put in or. Because then it says whichever is more restrictive may be permitted.
That splits them, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the one question that I've gotten, this is for the city engineer as well as us as a recommending body. Looking through all the materials today, in particular this one, we put a lot of authority in the hands of the city engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see what he feels about that and what we think about that. Because there are some exceptions that will only go across his desk, decisions that he can make, and we'll authorize that through these ordinances. Now, we know where they're coming from. The legislative intent to me is rather clear because when we get to one of the last items on the agenda, we can look at Eaglewood Cove and see the deep lots and the landlocked situations and so forth. But I'm worried a little bit that we have a little history with this in other instances where the city engineer has been given authority and acted lawfully within that authority, but maybe it's something he or she doesn't want, or maybe we don't want to give.
Paul, do you have a comment on that? You're one engineer that has a certain tenure. You'll be here for however long. We hope it's long.
So do I. You're right, Lisa. This was obviously with the Eaglewood Cove 13 through 15 coming tonight is what has got us talking about this whole changing this ordinance. As you know, we have gone over many years the best design for this Eaglewood Cove area. It's a very steep area, a very difficult piece to develop. And as we get onto that item a little later on tonight, you might hear us talk about that we feel this is a much better design than the one they had before with this, I think it's about a 1,000 foot long cul-de-sac. However, it does have less than 20 lots. And the reason, you know, we are saying that is because by this one change, we're basically cutting our cuts and fills in half on this subdivision, believe it or not. It's an incredible change we're making, leaving the hillside a lot more untouched. Now, as far as, you know, yeah, you're right, putting it in my hands, letting me make that decision. We felt as a DRC that, you know, that's a decision that we can easily make because I have the expertise to look at that and determine that. If you feel otherwise, if you feel that maybe this should not be in my hands, but maybe come back to the Planning Commission and City Council, you know, that's what you need to discuss.
I've got a question for, well, Ken, go ahead.
Can I just add, though, as a point of clarification, Paul doesn't typically approve streets by himself. The City Council approves streets ultimately. They're the approval body. I think the effect of this change is that we will no longer, if Paul has a subdivision request, as we do tonight, where we have a cul-de-sac longer than 600 feet, and he believes that it meets this criteria, that is, that it preserves cuts and fills, it makes less cuts and fills, preserves vegetation, it's a better design environmentally, that he would be free to allow that application to proceed through the Planning Commission and the City Council. So practically speaking, that's the authority we're giving, not necessarily the authority for the city engineer to approve and accept a public street because he doesn't have that authority.
That's true.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But in contrast, when you look at the next subsection, which is 10.1.17, that's your conditional use permit required for restricted lots. And that's your restricted lot, in this case, is the 15% plus grade. And years ago, that was always the protection for North Salt Lake in terms of we can't build above a grade of 15%, otherwise it has to come before the Planning Commission and the City Council. By repealing this language, we then have jettisoned that protection.
Well, we actually can build a lot
with special permit.
Paul, can you move over in front of the microphone so we can hear you, either one?
Yes, what I was saying is there are plenty of lots that, you know, basically buildable land is anything under 30%. But the restricted lot was basically, one of the reasons it was put in was so we could have a reduced front yard setback on these steep lots. And so basically a restricted lot can move closer to the street than other lots, which makes it a little easier to build on those lots.
My recollection is that we talked about the grades at like 15.
I'm sorry, could you?
My recollection is we talked about the grades 15%, 18% in years past when I was on the City Council. And the issue was street safety, land security, you know, is the soil going to be stable, all that kind of thing. And what I'm wondering then is if we repeal this, what protections do we have regarding elevations of lots?
Our protections are the geotech reports that we perform and make every developer do.
So it would rely on the geotech. Anything else?
Please. Yes. Yeah, there are two things. Number one, we're not removing the classification of a restricted lot, so that stays in the code. We're removing the process, which we believe is redundant, of going through a conditional use permit on an individual restricted lot. And the reason that we feel that way is because the subdivision process is defined as a conditional use. So all of our subdivisions that come through the Planning Commission and City Council have restricted lots identified, and they are by definition conditional uses. When we take action on them, they become approved conditional uses. Among other things, they become approved subdivisions also, and approved projects and lots of other things. But we've really, as a staff, we've been kind of struggling with this particular code requirement, because in all practicality, we've considered that subdivision process as the conditional use process. It's been a long time since we've brought an individual lot back through that process. So
Ken, in the past, that subdivision process satisfied this segment of the code?
It should, because by definition...
That was already a conditional use. It went through the process, was reviewed by us and the city council.
Yeah, it's double jeopardy.
Paul, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add one instance where if the subdivision was approved, we have some situations where the subdivision was approved before we had restricted lots. And so the city engineer has made an individual determination on that lot, you know, just by looking at the grade of the lot to see if it is a restricted lot and would warrant a reduced front yard setback.
The Harrison lot?
Yeah, or some of the, like, Scenic Hills subdivisions don't have restricted lots. So in that situation, it, you know, by the code right now, we would have to come to you for a conditional use permit to get a restricted, just to get a reduced front yard setback on the lot. So as they mentioned, it's just kind of redundant.
So what I'm hearing, on a case-by-case analysis, each lot at a time, it really will be a CUP still. Conditional use permit. But when we do a subdivision approval overall, it's understood, not we, city council, it's understood that there is going to be restricted lots in that subdivision. And that's already been accommodated for and accounted for in that approval of the subdivision. Is that correct?
That's how the code's set up now.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that's reflected in the minutes, because this explanation is very helpful and it will inform us in years to come. Of what our intent was.
Yeah, I don't think we mean to say we're going to bring individual lots back to you, though. If that's, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that if the city council adopts the code as proposed, we would not be bringing individual lots back to through for any conditional use process, regardless of if they're determined to be restricted after the fact or not. So in that sense. So the code after it's adopted will be that we have a definition of what a restricted lot is, and those can be created. A restricted lot can happen in two ways. One, it gets approved with a subdivision, which we typically do. If you see subdivision on the hillside, they'll have an R on the plat, and that means it's a restricted lot. Or in the case that Allie describes, we get down the road and we determine, when the building permit typically is proposed, that the lot meets the definition as for a restricted lot, and then we allow that lot to be developed under the rules of a restricted lot. We have not been bringing those back to the Planning Commission, and we wouldn't intend to do that in the future.
Okay, thanks
for
that.
I just wanted to be clear about what we were saying.
I have a question for Paul and Ken. How many more places in the city would be affected by these rules, by these rule changes? This is pretty well for building on
the mountainside. We're getting to that point where we're almost full. There's a 3-acre subdivision up in Eaglewood that's owned by someone else. That's probably going to be happening within the next year. That could have some restricted lots.
Granite Ridge.
I'm sorry?
Granite Ridge.
Oh, and Granite Ridge up in the on the south end will have some restricted lots.
That's pretty well it.
Yeah, we're
also
we're
just those
there.
Older subdivisions that were platted before we had the restricted lot provisions. So we can do individual determinations.
We've
on
got
the lot.
Like we have
Lofty
a few
Lofty Lane. We don't have restricted lots up there, and they're crazy steep.
We have a few lots on Lacey Way when you first make that curve off to the left side that are
Lacey Way. Mm-hmm.
Basically they drop. Yeah, those are definitely restricted by today's standards.
Yeah. Okay, further comments or questions?
So I just wanted to see in the language, it's very clear that you want to only allow this exception in the case of vegetation or to maintain cuts and fills. And I wanted to know if that was really the intent, is that we're only allowing exceptions in the case of maintaining the natural vegetation and terrain, or if we would allow exceptions for any other reason due to existing buildings or redevelopment in an unusual way. I'm wondering if we'd have to come back and redo the code again in the future. But I just wanted to see if that was the intent. It's only for vegetation and natural terrain.
Basically, that is the intent. If it was on a flat piece of ground, we would not be allowing this. It's for the environment, basically. I'm more concerned about the 20 lots than I am the 600 feet. The reason is, if you were to like have a water break or something like that happened at the end of that, you know, and it's a 800 foot cul-de-sac, but there's only four lots on it because it's so steep. I'm a lot less worried about that than a flatter subdivision that has 25 lots and, you know.
What did the fire marshal or the representative from the fire district say on the DRC?
He was also okay with this as long as they have the proper turnaround.
All right, we have, we must hold a public hearing on this. It's scheduled for this evening. So I'd like to open the public hearing on these changes to the land use ordinance. Does anyone here in the audience, in the public, have any comments in this regard? Looks like we don't. So I will close the public hearing and we move on. Do I hear a motion?
I had one more question. The determination of width and length for a lot, do we care if a lot is three times as wide as it is long, or it looks like we're only caring about the one direction, and I'm wondering if we care about both versions of the numbers. If you have a really wide lot that is not very deep, or compared to a very deep lot that is not very wide. And when I read the code, it sounded like we only cared about the one direction, but I'm wondering, developers don't really try to build the other way, because they're not going to try to expand the width of a lot. But that's what I was just wondering. Did we have any concern the other way while we're already looking at the code?
I think the intent of the lot depth requirement is a public safety issue. So you don't want a building several hundred feet back on the lot without the ability for a fire truck to get in there, something like that. But in the case where it's natural terrain in the back, like in Eaglewood Cove, there's nothing, there's no buildings to protect at the back of the lot.
Will we maintain this standard just by declaring the buildable space on a lot and not allowing the buildable space to be back so far? I mean, you determine buildable space on a lot in a subdivision plat. So is the protection to the city and the public by maintaining the buildable space within within a certain amount of frontage to the road? Or I mean, you know, we're allowing an exception to allow this development to go in, and I think that's great because it's going to be a beautiful development. But I just wanted to know, kind of, is that the determination? We're allowing this development to go in, but in future cases, we're going to run into other issues.
I think the history of this, as far as our ordinance, you know, decades ago, when everybody was farming, there were a lot of lots like these that were narrow, deep lots, and people would build their huge gardens in the back. And so you'll in the older subdivisions, you see lots like this. Nowadays, I think it's almost like a waste of land. And like Ali said, it puts things so far off the street, you can't see things and observe things. But I'm not sure how to answer your one with the other way. So
do we have existing lots today that don't meet this restriction? And if they came up to, if they were sold
is that
to
your mom's home or your mom's
next
lot?
Next door to my mom's
oh,
house.
Oh, next,
next door to your,
yeah.
your mom's house? I mean, like,
there's a lot in town that is on Main Street. It's, I think, 66 feet wide and about 600 feet deep. And it's just a weed patch now.
Yeah. So the question is, as we're changing this, as now that we're addressing it, if the owner of that lot came forward to build their home and get a building permit or it sold or something, would it be limited and they wouldn't be able to? They'd have to re-subdivide because they no longer meet the requirement in the code? Their lot is three times long and than it is wide?
I think it would be a non-conforming
yeah,
use.
Yeah, it'd be considered
it, yeah.
non-conforming. They
but
actually
legally
did
non-conforming, and they could still build and get
right.
building permits and everything.
Yeah, but they would have to meet the safety provisions. They actually did apply for a building permit on that lot at one point, and they were required to do a hammerhead for fire. So.
Okay.
And the fire department does review building permits and subdivision approvals. So, you know, they could make requirements on the building permit to have a turnaround if the building pad were farther back than they were comfortable with.
Okay.
I have one other concern, that is maybe we all know Paul, and he's an excellent engineer and has done excellent work for the city. But let's just say something happens and he's taken out of the picture, and we have another city engineer that we don't know about. And these decisions, to me, seem almost too much. And so I think it might be a good idea, in front of each of the determinations that the city engineer makes, it's in writing. It's just not something off the phone that he has to say in the written determination of the city engineer in both instances, so that we have a paper trail.
I think that's a great idea.
Doesn't hurt.
Right, it's a language.
So in both instances, before the word determination, we would have in the written determination.
Anyone against that?
No, I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Let's make that change then. So with those two changes, that Lisa has brought up, we now have some new code. So, do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion that we approve. I don't know how the staff prepared the motion to read. Let me just see. The Planning Commission recommend approval to the City Council of the proposed amendments to the Land Use Ordinance related to cul-de-sac length, building on restricted lots, and lot standards as amended in Section 10-7-7.K.4(l). After the word lots, remove the comma in the first line and delete and insert or. In the second line, after the word unless, new language, unless, comma, in the written determination of the city engineer. And then in subsection 10-1-20, excuse me, new code section 10-1-20, with the inserted new language, insert unless, comma, in the written determination of the city engineer.
Second.
Further comments? Questions? Move to a vote. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed? Passes. All right. Next one, consideration of a concept plan for the Brycewood development located at about 99 North Highway 89. Go ahead, Allie.
Okay.
One thing, do we have Preston Wood and Bryce Johnson, either one? Oh, they're both here. Good. Okay.
All right. This property is, as I mentioned in the staff report, at 99 North Highway 89. It's in the Highway Commercial Zoning District, and it's right here across from the car wash, if that orients you a little bit. The applicant is requesting concept plan approval for the construction of 10 townhouses on the site. Multifamily dwellings are permitted in the CH zoning district, and it's in compliance with the goals for the town center and Highway 89 district in the city's general plan. In the general plan, it indicates that residential should be allowed along the Highway 89 corridor and cluster at the commercial at the major intersections. The code currently requires that any residential on Highway 89 must be at least 500 feet away from the center point of Highway 89 and Center Street, or Highway 89 and 350 North intersections, and this proposal is in compliance with those requirements. The developer will be required to install landscaping and sidewalk along Highway 89 in compliance with the cross-section that's been adopted. It will include a 14-foot wide landscaped area with 6-foot wide concrete sidewalk and an 8-foot wide park strip with improved and irrigated landscaping, and street trees should be planted in accordance with the city code. The typical size of each of these townhouse units, and again, this is just a concept, they'll be approximately 880 square feet in size. They'll have 2-car garages and 4 guest parking stalls here at the north end or south end of the site. And that's in compliance with the city's parking stall requirements. They are proposed to be 3 stories in height, which is also in compliance with city code. Here's some photos of a similar project that they, the developer completed. This is at 700 North and 300 West in Salt Lake City. And this is roughly what they'll look like. They're proposing to kind of take the same plan and just plant it onto this property. Can you go back to the concept? As you can see, they have driveway access shown off of Northtown Lane, which is a private road. Highway 89 is a state-controlled road. The developer worked with UDOT several years ago with a plan that they had in the works to get driveway access from Highway 89, but they were required to either install a median in the center lane of Highway 89 to restrict left turns or share a driveway access with the property to the south here, which is Chaparral. In order to share that Chaparral driveway, they were required to construct retaining walls to ensure that the driveway areas wouldn't fail, and that proved to be too expensive for the development. So the developer moved forward with the purchase of a small piece of property from the Northtown Station HOA in order to better develop the site. That piece of property is roughly this area here, the frontage on Northtown Lane. So the developer was under the impression that along with the purchase of that property, driveway access would be granted on Northtown Lane. But it appears that that was never granted. There's no agreement or easement in place to have legal access from Northtown Lane. But because the development won't be vested until preliminary design plan approval, the DRC is recommending that the concept plan still move forward regardless of the driveway access at this time and allow the developer to get those agreements or easements in place. You also should know that the city is working with the HOA currently to come to an acceptable solution for all parties, and that would be a decision from the city council, whether it became a public street or whatever is going to happen with Northtown Lane. You should know that an environmental notice was sent out, as we do with all concept plans. There's a list of all the topics there, and 2 written comments were submitted. They've been attached to your report. But those are mainly concerning that driveway access issue on Northtown Lane. So we've come miles since I wrote the report with meeting with the HOA president and meeting with the developer also. And I think the city will come up with a solution to that driveway problem prior to it coming to you for preliminary design plan approval. So the DRC is recommending approval of the concept plan for the Brycewood development at 99 North Highway 89 with no conditions. Do you have questions for me?
How long till we see the preliminary plan?
They're wanting to break ground as soon as possible, so.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly, but
you're saying that's a private lane from Highway 89 all the way into the rest of the development behind there?
Yep, down to Main Street. Okay. It connects down to Main Street.
And any indication that the city would take responsibility for all of it or just the first 50 feet?
That's a council decision.
Right, and okay, yeah. Nothing there. All right.
I don't really have an answer for you there.
If the city did do it, it would be an all or nothing thing, though. They wouldn't just take over like the first 50 feet.
Okay. And we assume that the streets are in good enough condition and wide enough and have snowplow turnarounds and everything?
They're in terrible condition. But that's part of the negotiations we're having with them now. It would have to be brought up to city standard.
All right.
All right. We have two letters. One's from the Howards and the other is from the Northtown Station Management Committee. I guess that's the HOA. And so we've read those. I hope that you all have and we're familiar with them. Is there anyone else from the neighborhood that would like to make a brief comment regarding this development? All right. We can probably move ahead then. Anybody else on the commission have any comments on this, or do I hear a motion?
I was just gonna comment that I'm excited to see that vacant property, especially along 89, is beginning to develop. I think that it's a very good sign. I think that everyone will benefit from having less vacant property on 89. But as a address to the concerns of the HOA and the developer, I think that as two private entities working with private streets, they could come to a private decision and find something that the HOA was acceptable with. And so I think that approving this preliminary design doesn't require the HOA to take any action, or we're not requiring anything to happen on a private street. We're just saying that would be okay to move on. So I'm okay with that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make a comment, that is that we are today considering the concept plan, and Al Yaver was saying that it will come back to us as a planning commission for the preliminary design plan approval.
Yes, and also final plat. Oftentimes, developers will combine those two into one process, so they'll do preliminary and final plat at the same time. But it will come back to you regardless before it's recorded.
Because that provides me with a little bit more ease in making the decision today, because this subdivision, this project is hinging, its success is hinging on the access to the driveways for their garages. That's the Donnybrook. And so to approve that in concept, when you're saying we've come miles with the HOA and stuff, I can see myself voting for it, provided that there is an actual another vote on this issue to make certain that this driveway access works.
Yeah, and as I mentioned in the staff report, it's not vested until it gets preliminary design plan approval.
Okay.
I certainly think it's encouraging to see this kind of use on Highway 89. Helps provide some nice direction towards the town center concept overall, so delighted to see this come into the city as a concept at this time. Yeah, I'm ready to make a motion.
Go ahead.
If we're ready for that.
Surely.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the concept plan for the Brycewood development located at 99 North Highway 89 with no conditions.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further comment? All right. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed? Okay, passes.
Okay, I didn't hear. Just them specifically. Right.
Biggie. Is that pronounced Biggie?
Okay.
Bidge.
Next one. All right, consideration of a conditional use permit for Biggie Equipment Company. And that's at 510 West, 100 North. Jeff Pobans? Okay, did I say that? Is that pretty close? Okay. Okay, Jim.
Okay, so this is a conditional use permit request, like you mentioned, for a construction equipment and rental lease and leasing in the manufacturing distribution zone. Biggie Equipment intends to purchase the property, this property here, and relocate their business from 25 East Pacific Avenue to this new location. They are currently under contract to purchase a property and wanted to, during their due diligence process, get this approval prior to purchase. So Big E serves the Intermountain region, specializing in Bear Crane rental. This location would serve as an office space as well as a shop and storage space for their equipment and operation, as noted here in the site plan. Kind of difficult to see, but they would have most of the outdoor area would be the storage of their equipment as well as an office and shop and a parts area inside the building. The total requirement for parking on this site for this use would be 21 stalls. Currently, there are 16 striped stalls, including one ADA stall. So they would need to